The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Pinder Tal, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors.
Excuse me for my interruption. Boy, come and a quick reminder to say this coming Friday, I'm please come over the lawn. You're going to see my number one town around town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 feeter. And this a digital sweeter. See Lord, them just are up with the echo chamber. Watch your man. Play them play at the game. Them won't be stepping with them cast it down them chain. Oh Lord, play for the vibe and keep them alive. Play this coming, be my pigeon fan. But when we play LP.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Friday, January 17th, 2025, out here in the British, in the beautiful city of Nassau, Bahamas, wherever you are, guys. I hope that you're doing well. If you're celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you. I think I know somebody whose birthday on the 17th, you know. I can't put a finger on it, but happy birthday to you. If you're celebrating a birthday, I pray that the Father continues to be able to watch over you, blesses you as you move forward, upward, onward together towards this objective for growth and development for this country. It ain't just you here by yourself. I just want to be decent. You're not in this by yourself. So with all the strength that you get and all the information that you amalgamate in your mind and your spirit, we hope that you execute that for real change in our community. That's what this is all about. I want to have a good conversation with you guys. Grateful to be here. At 12:30, we're going to be speaking with Mr. Barrington Brennan. Just as we wrap up our series for, and on Monday, we're going to be speaking with Dr. C. Smith. Just to be able to wrap up this series that we're having a good conversation about as it relates to forgiveness, anger management, and that path to peace. So I'm grateful for that. Guys, it's a great day. Grateful to be here. I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out, man. If you're in this kind of a space and you need some things to be done, and as it relates to insurance and moving in those particular areas, and you want to be able to get your car insured and move around the city and so forth and so on. I had one of my guys doing some work for me yesterday. I asked him, why are you taking so long? He said, no, I got to get my car taken care of. I got to do this. I got to do that. So I got to be able to shout him out. And shout out all those persons. Make sure you get on to AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They can take good care of you. And you don't have to travail the streets in this kind of a posture and position where you got to keep ducking the police. Give a call, 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They'd be more than happy to take care of you. Number 407, Blue Hill Road South. Blue Hill Road South. I got a shout out to my good, decent people over at Coco Plum Wellness. We talked about this. And I just want to be able to kind of give you these scenarios to make you to understand the importance of colonics. The importance of being able to, and it's not invasive. You may think it's aggressive, it's an invasive, what these things are happening, but it's extremely important that you take on this kind of a posture and position to understand what's happening in yourself and in your body. All right, so you want to find yourself in the proper position to do that, and you want to be able to go down to my good, decent, listen, Teresa Adelaide Smith. She can take very good care of you. She is an expert in these particular areas, and she has a wealth of knowledge. Sometimes persons provide you this kind of an opportunity to say that, you know, we can do all these things, and they've never really tried this out themselves. They've never really tried this out, right? They've never tried it out. They never know exactly how this is going to work on them. She started to tell the story, and I'm sure that if you have an opportunity to be able to go down to her, you'll be able to get a little taste of this story also to understand exactly what's what. But she said that working in the medical profession, in a medical field, she started to feel sluggish and sleepy, and she did not understand exactly what. She took some tests. She did everything. She went off. She did all these things to find out her posture, her position, and why these things happen, until one time someone says, well, I think you should do a colonic. I think you should have your colon cleansed and do some stuff like that. And she said, after this sort of a system and the rhythm of being able to do it over the course of whatever time she did it, you can actually see the pictures of before and after. That's your puffy face, your puffy eyes, your puffy chin, these kind of dark spots around your neck, around your eye, the acne that exists in there. All these things are parasites. All these things are, gut-infested issues that cling to the walls of your, intestines, and find yourself in this kind of a position. And so I want to say to you, go down to my good friend. And I got to say good friend, because what she's done for us, what she's done for my family, and an opportunity for us to be able to feel alive again. You know, when you feel constipated, it's a very difficult thing. So go down to her and be able to take that to you. And I got to say this to you. Now, if you think it's going to be very expensive, it's not. And in fact, on every Monday and every Friday, come on now, every Monday and Friday, you get 25% off for 2025. Every Monday and Friday, once you hear it here, just let them know that you heard it here on the foundation, you get 25% off. And on the 25th of every month, you get 50% off. On the 25th of every month for the year of 2025, you get 50% off. Once you tell them you're listening to us here on the foundation, she'd be able to put that thing together for you. You want to be able to give her a call. Her number is 445-8111. You can be able to reach out to her, 445-8111. But it's important that you go through the website. The website's www.cocoplumwellnessbahamas.com. You can be able to schedule that thing now. And you know what's a beautiful thing is that you don't have to disrupt your week. You could do this thing on the weekend. You can do this thing on the Sunday in a very quiet environment. It's nice, quiet environment right there out east. And she's getting herself prepared to move out west. So as of April 1st, she's going to be out west and being able to do those things. I'm sure that we're going to be able to do a grand opening for her in this kind of a space. So I'm grateful to her for an opportunity to be able to, serve the community the way that she has. And I guess got to be able to speak of it with clarity. You need to get yourself rinsed out, cleaned out from the gut-infested issues that you have. You don't know why your breath is stink, right? And people don't tell you. You out here just, every time you see them, they have mints available for you. They feel like an old woman in church. Every time they're just rustling through their purse looking for something to put in your hand. And they're trying to be decent, you know. They're trying to be decent. They out here just chewing a gum in front of you. Every time they open it dead slow. And they keep offering, and you say, no, I'm good. Anyway, like I was saying, you sure you don't want a gum? Take the gum. They're trying to say something to you. But beyond what they're saying to you, there's something deeper there. You may have gut issues. So go down there and check her out. It's Coco Plum Wellness Bahamas, cocoplumwellnessbahamas.com. You can be able to book your appointment, 25% off on Monday, 25% off on Friday, and 50% off every 25th of the month. So January 25th, February 25th, so forth and so on. 50% off on that particular time. And you could be able to do that. If you want to find out more about it, give her a call, 445-8111, 445-8111. Well, guys, we're going to continue our series today and have this kind of a good conversation that we started with forgiveness. We started this series and we deviated once or twice to be able to talk about pressing issues socially, and found a way to kind of wrap in to this concept and idea of what we're dealing with. But today, we're going to be able to take a significant avenue and shot at being able to identify some of the issues that I hear with professionals, with someone who's been doing this for a very long time, with someone who actually knows about these things that could be able to give you statistical data and information, evidence that says, hey, this is what's happening in our society more specifically. Had an opportunity to be able to go yesterday, and I know you want to hear about it, yesterday to be able to sit for the very first time with rooting out violence in the country. They had a green paper document with the Ministry of Health and Wellness. I don't want to kind of provide a SWOT analysis, but I do say that the initiative was positive. But I do believe that we need more incorporation of youth and being able to diversify the approach and being able to have different voices in the space. I thought it was a gallant effort, but the impact can be stronger if you just diversify and understand that our society is a young society, it's a growing society, and traditions well into the future may not necessarily rest well with a growing population. So it was good, and I want to talk about that. And so I want to be able to talk more specifically about this. There's some things that we can be able to identify that hasn't changed for a very long time. And one of the issues that we continue to be able to carry with us from childhood into adulthood is the issue of anger. However it has been thrust upon us, however we encountered that, for some reason, we individually and a collective aspect of our society don't have the mechanisms to being able to shake that anger. We don't know how to identify this. We don't know how to be angry and sin not. We don't know. We've never been taught this. And so this anger blossoms. It grows. It blossoms and really finds itself hiding well, masking well as we mature. But any moment, like a trigger here, boom, you could be able to find yourself confronted with this particular anger unresolved from our childhood. It finds us in this particular place, whether that's as a result of unforgiveness, whether that is resentment, whatever that is, we have some issues that we have to deal with. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to a gentleman who has spoken with me in another space before and has always been articulate and insightful in being able to talk about these things. I'm going to be able to pass it over to him and really be able to allow him to introduce himself, to talk to us about it, to talk about his expertise in the years that he's been doing that. Marriage and family counseling services that he offers right here in the city of Nassau, and definitely throughout by access of telephone and whatnot, you could be able to reach him. His name is none other than Mr. Barrington Brennan. Mr. Brennan, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Alan Grant. Great to be here with you to share today.
Thank you. I'm very grateful that you found time to be able to speak with us, my brother. Thank you so kindly.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk more specifically. You and I went over the synopsis and concept of idea of what we're going to be doing here. But talk to us. Talk to us about, introduce yourself to those persons who may not necessarily know you, and let them know what your expertise, where your expertise exists.
Okay. I am a good-looking 70-year-old man, retired from pastoral ministry in 2019, for 42 years of being. I've also been a counseling psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health professional since 1995. So this is my 30th year. And my area of specialty, although I have still a broad scope, is relationships, domestic violence, toxic intimacy, preparing people for marriage, and those particular issues. I have got my training and internship in domestic violence also, intimate partner abuse, plus marriage and family, marriage and family counseling. I had the privilege of managing a treatment program for abusive individuals when I lived in Michigan. Working with men and women, over 600 men and 50 women over a couple of years, dealing with domestic violence, anger issues. And since I've come back in 1996, I've been endeavoring to write about it. I deal with it in my private practice. I assist other agencies giving speeches here and there. But I enjoy helping people, and I hope I can say something today that will provide some insight or healing for someone who's listening.
I thank you. I thank you for that. I'd like to know, as we start off, I would like to talk about this. Now, as we look at this, I know individually, because I know that you're in your professional capacity, that you often take on whether an individual or a small group. But now we're talking to loads of people. And so I'd like to be able to talk it from a macro perspective. Over the years that you've committed and coming back to the country and being able to lend yourself in service in this particular way, I'd like you to be able to give a synopsis of just sort of a generalized, I don't want to be like a blanket statement, but generalized to see the rhythm of how our society has gone with some of the issues that we grapple with. You said that your relationship, toxic intimacy, and some of the other variations. What have you seen has been one of the major issues that we grapple with as a society?
That's a very good question, because although I may give perhaps a very simple or single answer, is multifaceted. But I would say, as a family systems therapist, and from my perspective, and I have been sharing this for several decades in the Bahamas, and that is, we have a serious breakdown of the family that leads to dysfunction, that leads to mismanagement, poor parenting skills, that leads to anger problems, non-physical and physical violence. I've always said, Mr. Howard Grant, that although we have to have other skills, practices, systems, laws in place, the foundation problem is lack of proper parenting skills in this country. What feeds that a lot is the patriarchal mindset of who is in charge, a power and control issue, rather than having an understanding of loving and caring and nurturing. It's not the emphasis. Now, this is general. We do have a lot of caring and nurturing communities or families, but far too many families are weak socially or and academically or illiterate, emotionally illiterate. Intrapersonal skills are lacking with far too many in our country. When I say intra, I-N-T-R-A, dealing with how you manage yourself internally. You must have that first before we could deal with interpersonal relationships relating to others. And so the area of anger, because of that, anger has gotten a bad rap in our country. And I know that sounds strange to you. Meaning, on one side, anger is letting us know that something isn't right. That's the positive side. But when anger turns into bitterness, resentment, hatred, revenge, then we have a problem. Anger should tell us to stop and take a look. Something is not right. There is a book by a famous author entitled A Time for Anger. So in that context, we need a time for anger in this country where we need to stop and look at the problems, and that anger pushes us to fix it. But when we have been mistreated, misunderstood, not loved, as a child growing up into adulthood, that anger now becomes resentment, becomes bitterness. becomes revenge and resentment. And we need to find a way of helping our young adults coming up to be more loving, caring, effective, well-adjusted adults, and not to have anger as misuse of anger as a central part of the behavior with human beings. So we have a challenge in our country. Unfortunately, Howard Grant, I said maybe 50 years ago that it might take about 30 or 40 years for us to change even the parenting stuff, because the old parents got to die off because they refuse to change. But we got to teach the new ones. And that's difficult if they are still being embedded by negative thoughts and actions by their significant others around them. So this is a very complicated matter. I'm not trying to make it sound simple. We have the educational system. Sometimes that feeds into it, especially maybe the public schools, because too many teachers are just teaching to the text and not teaching to the heart. Mm-hmm. And we have people in this to get the money, not to give help and training to others. So it's a complicated matter, which includes many spokes in the wheel. But for me, right at the center, is the family. Now, I am one of them. I'm not talking about the single family as opposed to the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. Single families are not in themselves dysfunctional. All right? People are. All right? Some people are single for not negative reasons, too. Death, a loved one, divorce, whatever. Your problem is being able to have a healthy, vibrant, functioning unit, that family.
I like this.
That family can, the individuals in the family can produce other offsprings with similar loving, caring, responsive action.
I like this. Brother Brendan, when we get back, I want to be able to talk to you a little bit about whether it's a scientific approach that we take, as you describe the teachers and their particular posture, teaching to the text and not necessarily teaching to the heart. Is there an approach that we can take from a scientific standpoint, or is there a necessity to being able to get to the heart of this matter and be able to really emit emotions for us to be able to see this change? I got to take this quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we're going to be able to talk a little bit more with none other than Barrington Brennan, as he provides us his expertise to say how we can navigate to this course of peace as we continue to be able to grapple and deal with our anger and unforgiveness. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this. The foundation. The foundation.
Listen up! Popeyes is serving it up for you! Get 5 pieces of juicy, hand-battered bone-in chicken for just $10. That's right, 5 pieces of Louisiana-style flavor, fried to golden, crispy perfection for only $10. But don't wait, this deal won't last forever. Head to your nearest Popeyes today and grab your 5-piece for just $10. Popeyes, where the chicken's always worth the hype. Available for a limited time only.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect, still talking the way that we are on this beautiful Friday. On the second part of the show, at the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to be able to take a couple of telephone calls. So I know that you want to be able to call in. I know that you want to be able to ask some questions. I'd love you to do that, or maybe even after the second break. Yeah, after the second break, I'll open up the line so we can be able to get one or two. But I still want to be able to do this. Walking in the studio with me is none other than a very good friend. She's been working in various sectors, Her Majesty Correctional Facility, in those particular areas. Did I say it wrong?
No.
Did I say it wrong?
No. I was just saying the different places, but go ahead.
Tell the people the different places, right?
No, just those in need of a second chance have probably been there.
Yeah.
In those facilities,
yeah.
Yes. And that's from school, from a church, from a correctional facility standpoint, yes.
Yeah, so this is Kendra Bro. You've heard her with us before. I wanted to be able to add some levity to the conversation and some estrogen to be able to find from a different perspective. I feel as though, just like our brother Barrington Brennan has actually been able to speak to, there's a patriarch in this society, subconsciously or whether it's pronounced. A lot of us don't necessarily, we're not necessarily inclusive. So I wanted to bring her in there. But you know that we're listening to I don't want to put no more title on you than you could bear. But Barrington Brennan, he's a relationship, marriage counselor, relationship specialist who's been dealing with relationships, toxic, and I like how he said it, toxic intimacy. And he's been doing this for a very long time here in the country, being able to dissect these things. So when we left off, Brother Brennan, we left off trying to be able to find out the course. Now, a lot of persons, this entire course that we're setting up show has been to lead towards introspection. You call it this interpersonal skills of being able to deal with ourselves. The introspection of being able to look at ourselves and identify the issues rather than being able to carry it around and being able to put ourselves in an occupied state to forget about it. Until that this major issue that comes to the forefront, and we're not able to do these things, right? So I just want to be able to talk to you about that with clarity and being able to deal with these things. Dr. Brennan, you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. So I wanted to ask you this kind of an idea about the path after we've already found these things out, after we've identified that we have anger issues with ourselves, after we've known, hey, listen, I didn't even know that I had unresolved issues. It popped out 35 years later. What is the course that we can take to being able to rectify these things? Should it start with a conversation? Should it start with acknowledgement? Should it start with being able to identify where we can get help from? How do we do this?
I think once we need to have a foundation of accepting, acknowledging that we have a problem. If we do not acknowledge the problem, the scope of the problem, the seriousness of the problem, we will talk around it and we will not get things done. Then we need to have a serious commitment, determination, commitment that we are going to do the necessary things to make a difference, whether we have to change a system, change our mindset, do things, whether institutions or nationally or microorganisms, but we have to have that determination. But I said first, Howard Grant, sometimes I get the impression that many of us don't really think our problem is that serious, or it is very, very simple to deal with, one of the two extremes. And we are not willing to put put our shoulders to the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many years myself, and I wouldn't call others' names, maybe none of them, have been trying to, or have had meetings at hotels, at other agencies, dealing with some of these questions, papers put forth, recommendations put forth, nothing happened. We don't have the backbone, or we don't have the determination. That is what gets to me. we say things and it's not done. So we have to get that commitment. We must have that commitment and determination that we are going to do whatever it takes to make a difference. And then whatever, when we find whatever it takes, we have to be willing to do it and make the changes. Because people tell me, you know, change takes time. Do you know, Howard Grant? I've been back, I'm 70 years old. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing that from I was a child. Change takes time. Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything to do the change. Talking about change takes time. So it is an excuse to sit down and not do anything.
Wow.
Not do anything.
So tell me this. Are you talking from a governmental standpoint, or is this just a generalized mindset of our society?
I'm talking about every agency, every from a judicial point of view, government point of view, educational point of view, church point of view, all the systems, all of that, all of these agencies or bodies have been indolent or reluctant or cold or sitting back and not doing enough to make a difference.
Is that
I must put, I must be fair. Mm-hmm. There are organizations in our country that have been doing and will continue to do a good job. My problem is there's not enough to impact the society in a full scope.
I want Kendra to chime in here as she gets in with us.
Kendra?
Yeah, Kendra Bowe, she's sitting here in the studio with me. I think you've met her. She said she sat in many of your stuff over the years, and she's always enamored with the way that you, your commitment in these particular areas. So, you know, she's here with me. And I just wanted to be able to talk and ask this question from an individual standpoint, okay, so I can give you a little bit of my business. Over the years, I've done my best to kind of run away from childhood trauma, like some issues that I've dealt with when I was a child. I didn't know whether or not they would affect me. I just knew I needed to get away from them. Mm-hmm. And I do my best. I don't know what this clinical terminology would be, but I do my best to suppress these memories of this thing. And so I keep myself occupied, not to think about it, and always looking futuristic towards these things. But when things happen over the years, over my life, I get to an inflection point where I have to change or something drastic happens in my environment, then this anger or this memory runs back to me, right? And I grapple with it and see them from, and I feel so ashamed after it subsides. And so I wanted to have this kind of a series because I said, if this happened to me as an individual, then I know that this is happening to other people largely, right? And I wanted to be able to fix that. And so if it's happening to me as an individual, it's happening largely. So I just wanted to know whether or not we could deal with this from an individual standpoint for those persons who are taking the time out to do introspection to say, hey, listen, these are some steps that you can take. This is some avenues and resources that you access to or you have access to that can be able to help you with some of the issues that are unresolved in your life from you as a child. Yeah.
Yes. So good afternoon, everyone. And
hello, Kendra.
Hi, how are you? Okay. I said to Howard, I have sat in many from different sectors. So under Ministry of Education and Family Life, as you know, when you were called in to present to Family Life teachers, for the government, when they have called you in to present at different forums on a governmental level, and so from an NGO standpoint. So I've sat in many of your sessions. So
thank you.
Yes.
But you remember I was a chair of the Family Life Teachers Committee for the government for 5 years.
Okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yes, and so I'm honored to be on this platform with you this morning, and so Howard, thank you for this. What I would say, Howard, from what you shared, and I will share. I would say from a combination in terms of like a biblical perspective tied into it as well. And so what that speaks to is that there is a stronghold. What I mean by that is that the trauma that you experience, and this is for all of us and any one of us. So when you have experienced some form of trauma in your childhood, And the way you perceived it, the way it affected you, you formed a thought pattern surrounding that particular thing, that trauma. That if it was never like you talked about suppressing it. So if you never came to the place to actually talk about it, have, you know, persons speak into you as it pertains to that, so it could shift your mindset as it pertains to that particular thing, help you get over that particular thing, ideas, perceptions, values, beliefs surrounding that particular thing. And then it becomes a stronghold. So, and when it becomes that stronghold, then that is able to, the enemy is able to use that to influence our behavior as it pertains to that thing. And then when something happens, just as you said, it's triggered. And when it's triggered, it can come out in the form of anger, and it can come out in the form of other things. And so just simply that anger, that trigger, that emotion that you're now experiencing is just a sign to say, no, there's a stronghold there because there's something that happened that you never quite resolved. You never quite got over it.
Yeah, but I think all of us acknowledge that there is something that happened that we didn't, that was unresolved, because we come, elders at one point would say things like, well, you got to let sleep dogs,
dogs lie.
And don't say anything about that. Just let it go, baby. Just let it go.
Yes.
And so as a result of coming from that, right, you don't deal with these things.
We do that. I had a student I was dealing with. She was experiencing seizures along with some other symptoms. So when the mother came to me, and this is in my capacity now as a counselor, and when she came, and the mother was like, okay, my daughter's having some issues. And, you know, she was talking about some of the things that was happening at night and so on and so forth. And so when we finally got to the bottom of the issue of what actually happened, there was something that transpired within the family that ended up coming out. Now, when that came out and then the mother was confronted on the issue, the mother was like, yeah, well, pretty much she's saying the daughter now needs to just get over it because far worse happened to her. And it didn't impact her in this way.
Yeah.
And I think what we don't realize is going to respond to things differently.
Yeah.
So the way someone else can handle or respond to something is not necessarily the same way someone else is able to respond to something. So we all need to know what is going to work for us when we deal with things. And one of the things that I am a big advocate for, and I've shared on the show before, which is the talk therapy. Because what that tends to do is there is a shame that's associated with a lot of our traumas that we've gone through.
Talk to me, Brother Brennan, about that. Talk to me about those particular things. I know that you would have seen that over the years, that persons, just like the example that I provided, persons have unresolved issues. I like to be able to identify it as this sort of a box, whether you call it a Pandora box or not, that's kind of shoved away into the corner, the dark corners of your spirit, and not necessarily dealt with, in the dark corners of your mind and not dealt with. And this thing only comes up when there is a life-altering thing or something that changes swiftly or abruptly. And this is sort of a knee-jerk reaction to be able to deal with those things. What are some of the steps that we can take in those persons who are dealing with things similar to this with anger management that we can be able to rectify?
And while you were speaking, so many things crossed my mind, and I thought about the term walking wounded. Many of us are wounded adults because of early childhood experiences, and not only that, but sometimes I have clients in their senior clients in the late 70s, 80s, and now they're just dealing with childhood abuse.
What?
Because they drown themselves.
So I'm not too late to deal with my issues.
No.
Okay.
No. God. But here is it. Yes, the reason these elderly are dealing with it now because they surrounded themselves with their significant others, their children, their grandchildren. Now they are gone and they're by themselves. Perhaps their spouse is dead. Now it's coming up into their hearts and face.
You got to deal with you now.
Mm-hmm.
Early childhood abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, or whatever. They didn't even realize that because of that treatment in those early years, it had affected their attachment style, how they and the reason they they love or relate closely to someone in a relationship. And in my practice, I usually try to give an attachment style quiz, and it's amazing how early childhood can impact adulthood.
Wow.
All right. And so now, as adults, you see, what you're doing right now, Howard, is one of the vehicles or tools that will enlighten a listener to help or to research more and seek help, because now they're learning that they're not the only one. So this program itself is meaningful and important. Yes. Even if we're not touching every aspect of it, people are listening. People are listening who are wounded, or they're listening, they know someone who is wounded. And now that will lead them to make a call, read an article, watch a video, go to a seminar. So now, the first thing here is helping people to realize that they are normal in a sense, that they're not mentally ill. They can find help for their woundedness, and they are not alone. So that's important. That will lead them to find a source, whether it's reading a book. Some people got to start that way, whether it's watching a video, whether it's going to an open seminar, or whether it's going to individual therapy. Mm-hmm. They need to find help. Some people will go to a spiritual source for help. Mm. And I don't want to cause problems here, but I must say this. Too many of our spiritual leaders are causing more damage in these areas than the psychologists.
Yes.
Because they are just focusing on, well, there are many reasons. They're just focusing on, it's up the devil, just forget about it, or just pray about it. And
that's the same avenue our parents told us.
Yes, yes. Well, our parents, whoever our parents are, when they were taught that also.
Well, let me take this quick commercial break. This is the second break that we're going to take. It's going to be a quick break. We're going to get right back, talk for 2 seconds, and then going to take a break to get to news. I don't know, Brother Brennan, whether or not you were able to stay with us the entire time. I know that you had a particular appointment set up, but I'll call you on the break to find out that information. Ladies and gentlemen, quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus 4 chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. Well, check out these prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing plies starting at $36.60. All these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a roll. Felt, 15 pounds, 16.50, 30 pounds, 19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pinder got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here. We're talking about where we are. We're doing introspection. Brother Barrington Brennan would say, we're doing this interpersonal skill We're tapping into this interpersonal skill and looking within ourselves to find the imperfections that exist there. Knowing that we're not perfect. I don't know if you walk around believing that you're perfect. Knowing that we're not perfect. And seeking to be able to find strength so we could contribute with this sort of positivity that we must in our society. We're doing our best. Today, we're still talking the way that we are about this path to peace. Talking about forgiveness and being able to deal with anger management. I got a telephone caller on the line, guys. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Next call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
I'm pretty good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, as well. It's Bucky. What's up?
Yeah, I was listening to your show.
Okay.
You know, Howard, there's many times you are in a position where you could help a lot of people, and you do a very, very good show. I must give that to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sparky.
You bring on some guests sometimes that they're reaching out, telling us sometimes the truth that we hate to hear in the Bahamas, especially when we talk about our religious leaders. He just mentioned something a little while ago that some of our religious leaders, they do more harm to our society than any good. He mentioned that.
How I do?
No, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that believe that also. But listen to this, Howard. There was a Bahamian family, okay, Howard? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Spock.
There was a Bahamian family out there. A mother, a father, a son, another son and a daughter. Not something happened in that family, Howard, I could tell you. Her first husband died of cancer. She married again. The second husband came in and he had two kids, another boy and a girl. Her only sister, her younger sister, died in a tragic accident being shot. She brought her sister's son into the family. So you have three kids and a nephew. Now what happens? The mother dies at 46 years old, leaving the oldest son off in university, traumatized. Leaving the second son, a 15-year-old boy, traumatized. The 13-year-old girl, traumatized. You know what she died from? Alcoholic abuse. Wow. Ended up, the older brother went through a very hard time catching himself. He was off studying to be a civil engineer. He finally made it to the top, graduated and everything out of Washington. Came back home with his family. Now he left a 15-year-old boy trying to put himself through high school and everything because his father never was home. Then he left a 13-year-old young girl out there traumatized. She ran to go live with her cousins. She wants nothing to do with her family because her mother died as an alcoholic and she was ashamed. So she stopped talking to her own family. We spent thousands of dollars with her, with a psychiatrist, trying to find out until we found out that the lady was almost speaking to her own brother and sister. Her own two brothers. Now the older brothers died, left that 15-year-old boy, wants to know why doesn't him and his sister speak.
Wow.
Now we found out her sister is mad at her mother for leaving her and dying as an alcoholic. She held that in for over 60 years.
Sparky, this is a heavy story that you're telling. I just want to be able to let you know that. I think a lot of persons have trauma issues that they haven't dealt with. I think a lot of persons need to be able to hear stories like this. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to go to news. And when we get back from news, we're sitting, calling in with us and being able to have a good conversation is Barrington Brennan, and in the studio with me is Kendra Bowe. So when we get back, we're going to take your telephone calls and dive deeper into this conversation to see if we can help just a bit. Quick commercial break, get to news, going to be right back after this. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect here, still being able to have a good conversation. The line's going to be wide open. What we did at the beginning of the show and being able to put a layout and kind of be able to create the base of what our expectations can be. Like I said, as we bring this series to a close, we're not going to do it for the entire month. I said to you, we're going to do it up until the 21st, 22nd. And today we had an opportunity to be able to speak with Mr. Barrington Brennan. Now, unfortunately, he was unable to stay with us. I know that he told me that, Howard, I couldn't stay for the entire time. I can come at 12:30 and I'll probably have to leave shortly thereafter. So he did that, and I want to thank him for his commitment to be able to have good conversations with us. He has significant expertise in these areas, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to let you know this with clarity. That when he talks about the fact that he's married, that he's a marriage and family counseling, he provides marriage and family counseling service, and being able to talk about those things, this is an excellent thing. He does this. His office hours, I think, from 8:30 a.m. to about 4:30 p.m. His website, you can be able to find him on soencouragement.org. Let me see if I can tap on this and find out more information for you so you can be able to see exactly what's what. When you open up his website, it gives you all the breakdown, exactly what's what, and how you could be able to make an appointment with him, all right? The number that you can call for him, the number that I have for him, is 4002. That's 477-4002. So if you're interested in that, or you could be able to check him out on this website, it's called www.soencouragement.org. Soencouragement.org. So you can be able to do that. www.soencouragement.org. And you can be able to make your appointment, your booking, to be able to speak with him and find out exactly what's what. All right, so I want to thank you, Barrington Brennan, for being able to sit with us today. And I'm hoping that we can be able to do this well into the future. Really talk about strengthening ourselves as we do this interpersonal. We sharpen our interpersonal skills to get to the objective of strengthening our community and being able to do those stuff. So I'm here with none other than Kendra Bowe, and she continues to be able to have this conversation with us. Now, I wanted to have your voice with us, Kendra, because, you know, often we are, as men, we believe that our position, and I don't know whether or not this is like sort of a default. I don't know whether or not we find ourselves elevated in society or we seek to be able to have this space carved out solely for us, but I needed to be able to have a softer voice here, a woman's perspective, and being able to find these things. So I reached out to you to find out these particular things, and I know that your expertise and the years of experience that you have can be able to assist in that. We have some real issues in this country. You have some issues as it relates to relationships. We have some issues as it relates to how people commune with each other. There was a survey that I listened to. There was somebody was kind of shooting out statistics the other day, and I don't know whether or not there's any accuracy to this, but it says that in the Western world, more specifically in the United States of America, among Black population, maturity in women, you know, in school we often say that girls mature faster than boys, right? And that was both mental and physical, right? But the recent statistic and information that I've received indicates that this maturity from a mental standpoint stops at the age of 14, that you can see an older woman and from she is snapping back and seeking to revenge and always looking for this kind of this avenue to get back at you, that her maturity stopped at 14. I feel like a lot of this spills over into our society because of our proximity to the United States of America. And whether the accuracy of that statistic is on point, there is saying to me that mentally there is stagnation. People stop growing, stop maturing, stop seeking an opportunity to be able to understand how I can make myself better. And they merely exist in this particular space. I feel like that's mirrored in our society. And a lot of the relationships that persons get in and how they commune with each other in these particular relationships is reflected by that. Men may not necessarily seek to move towards maturity. They're not taking on these strategic positions to do this, to do that. They are just merely existed or drinking or doing whatever they would have done as an 18-year-old child, right? And women do the exact same thing. Now, this ain't go for everybody, but we're talking about a society and a community that's ravaged by crime and violence and domestic violence. And now, even for the beginning of the year, we're hearing suicides and so forth and so on. There is real issues in this country. Talk to me about this.
yes, Howard. So I think that having issues is nothing new. I think that the challenge is how are we dealing with and addressing our issues. I think that, yes, our proximity to the U.S. definitely influences us because our people will mirror the behavior that they see being modeled around them. But in an age of social media, you don't need to just see what's happening in your community. You can just go onto social media and you could see what's being mirrored by the Cardi B's and whoever else. And then people adopt these behaviors in terms of that they see, and then they start to carry it out. So this is the reason why I think our community leaders, our community elders, whoever they may be in the form of parents, aunts, uncles, pastors, you know, police officers, teachers, whomever, there is a need for that example of behavior and conduct to come forth, for people to see that they see another way to handle stuff, to deal with stuff. And I can tell you why that's important, even just from personal experience, in terms of for me, as a youth leader and dealing with a youth director and dealing with young people. And as I dealt with issues, and if I would share something that I experienced, like some of them would look at me like, Ms. Bo, you serious? That's what you did? That's how you handled that? And of course, they had a different way in terms of to handle the situation. But when I would share how I handled a situation or something that I went through, they looked in awe, and now there was a different example of how they could handle or respond to a situation. So I think that having someone to model a behavior or different behavior is going to be key and important in terms of shifting some of what we see. And then I think that what's happening, I heard a comment by the minister, I think, of national security when he was being asked a question as it related to police officers. He said, but these men come from amongst us. So basically what he's saying, this is the product of the community now. So don't just look or point a finger basically at the law enforcement and say, oh, look at them and look at what's happening. He's saying they came from among us. And that's the reality of it. Who we are now today, our culture, our behavior patterns are different things. It has been influenced. It has been impacted. And now we have to look at ways in terms of how can we rectify it and how can we get it back on track. So I think today your topic and what you're speaking about as you're addressing anger and as you're addressing forgiveness is so important because a lot of people are not addressing issues in the right way. And then the way that they're responding to it, we're seeing a lot of the violence and the behaviors that we see happening. I would say one of the recent issues that we had in terms of violence that took place last year and that's been heavily publicized, one of the things that I heard directly from the person who was the perpetrator was that, and they should have asked for help.
Who to ask for help, though?
And
the help is not available. We don't see the only help that's whether you walk on the streets, because we watch these movies, right? And so you got real estate people on your park benches, and you could be able to see all these things and advertisements for these stuff. And there's access and information that you be able to find services if you are struggling and going through what you're going through. We don't know where to do that. We walk on the street and you see rum on this thing, the advertisement is. And that has been the outlet for a lot of us to be able to deal with our issues.
And unfortunately,
that's what it is.
This individual turned to.
There's nothing else to turn to.
And committed one of our most recent heinous crimes. And so what I'm saying is, oftentimes there is an outcry from the public, and I think that's why this show and what you're doing today is so important, because I think people have to come to a place first to take responsibility. When you yourself are going through something, you realize you're not okay, you realize that whether it's something from the past that you're dealing with, whether it's something present that you're dealing with, there has to be a conscious decision that violence is not going to be the mechanism you're going to use in terms of to deal with that issue. And that could be violence.
I don't think we wake up with that idea, you know. I don't think we wake up and say, I choose violence today, right? I think violence is easily accessible. It's an arm length away.
But if you do not intentionally tell yourself, you have to be intentional about what you're going to do or not do, meaning you're going to speak to yourself and you're giving yourself guidelines to govern you. Why do I say this? Because if you don't do that, Howard, then...
But that only could be after introspection, though. Watch me. After I know I have an issue,
right?
Now I got to be able to have that and speak over my life to deal with the issue.
Exactly.
But if you come bothering with me with a suppressed issue that pops out as a rage monster, and now something happens that we don't want to be able to happen. How am I supposed to know I had the issue before? I thought this was gone.
And this is what often happens. And this is why counseling is so important. I can tell you story after story in terms of from young persons, parents who came in as related to young persons. And then they end up having a counseling session and they're crying and going over issues and all of it. And what it is, Howard, is that a lot of times we're not in a society where counseling is really looked upon or people recognizing
because they're scared that you can talk their business.
That they
don't need you to tell everyone around the community that they sleep with their cousin or their cousin raped them or their daddy is their brother at the same time. And all these things happening now.
Yes, these things are happening.
But ain't nobody want you to know that. They just hoping that when the brother and the sister had the baby and the daddy is the brother and the daddy at the same time, that the child don't come out with special needs.
Yes. But what I'm saying, though, Howard, is there has to come a place where we get past our own shame to seek help, irregardless if you're concerned about someone talking about it.
The enemy.
All right? And I can say this. Let me use my own life in terms of...
To get past your shame?
Right? To get past your shame. Let me use my own life as an example.
This is
right?
What you're doing right now.
Right? So when I was going through my marital challenges, right? Mm-hmm. And it had already come to the forefront that he was an extra relationship, right? Ships.
Yeah, because from you say extra.
Right?
That ain't a sweetheart no more.
Yeah. So, but what happened though?
This is polygamy. Go ahead. Let me hear the rest of the story.
Man, don't do it, Howard.
Okay, go ahead.
But what happened though is as I went through the process, and let me tell you how God works, because God knows what you need. I had a sister and, you know, God rest her soul, she has died. She passed away. But this particular sister of mine shined a light. She's a dreamer. She was a dreamer, and she would dream straight. Sometimes she would get the interpretation wrong, but the dream itself, she would dream straight, right? And she would have a dream, and she'd be like, Kendra, I had a dream last night, and then all my business I was trying to keep covered, because now you don't want to share it because you shame. Now she had a dream with God, and God said, he was showing you this long time, but you was turn a blind eye to this.
Stick a pin. This is not a dreamer. This is a prophecy.
Right?
This is a prophet. There's a difference between a dream and a prophecy, please.
No, but
anyway, go ahead with the story.
But she would dream. What I'm saying is she would dream straight.
This woman's a prophet, by the way.
My son was off to college, and she would say, I see him, and I just see him partying. And sure enough, when those grades came...
That's what he was doing.
It reflected exactly what he was doing. It's like, okay, son, this didn't work out. But what I'm saying is, she was a dreamer. She would dream straight. But what happened was, is that as she was getting dreams on what was going on and it revealed my business that I was trying to keep to myself because I was so ashamed of what was happening. And now she's like, yeah, and I saw this, and I saw this lady. And this, and I was like, oh my God, now all my business out there. And I had to now come to the place to deal with the shame of what I was experiencing in my marriage. Now, let me tell you why that was so good and why that's so important. Because what happens is many times when we go through our trauma, our problems, our challenges, that shame wants us to keep it a secret because we're embarrassed. You know, we're fearful. We don't want people to know. We don't want to be judged, just like you're saying. But when you can get past the shame and say, okay, you know what? I got to deal with this. This, it is what it is. And now how do I deal with this? And then this is where, for me, I use the help and the assistance that came from God through the Holy Spirit. So it's like, okay, what guidelines did he give me? Okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek direction. I'm going to read. I'm going to stay busy. I'm going to be about purpose. I'm going to use this pain. I'm going to redirect it. And so there were things that I did. One of the things that was so instrumental for me, Howard, in my journey was when I got to places where now that shame was so heavy and the pain associated with that was so heavy that now I had to talk to someone. And there were like four people that God brought into my life. One, a lady who had already gone through something similar. And so now I didn't have to, she had already gone through it. And she was like, no, and let me tell you what you can deal with. And let me tell you what you can face. And I was like, but you know he did this? And you know the woman say this? And she's like, yeah, man, let me tell you how you got to pray. And so what happened there was I didn't have to be ashamed anymore. She was able to say, okay, do X, Y, and Z. And this is how you handle this. And this is how you get over this. Then God brought a male, a family relative, a cousin into my life. And then what this individual did is now this person did a little cheating of their own. So now I got a male perspective on situations. And he used to be like, yeah, well, I know. And then, well, he used to make me mad because when I'd say, and look at the text that come into my phone. And he's like, yeah, well, allegedly, I used to get mad. He used to use that word all the time because now he's trying to tell
somebody
me.
Somebody got to stick up for this man.
Right? He's trying to tell me this ain't happening.
This polygamist that you have.
Right?
Go ahead.
He say, allegedly. Okay. And so what happened was I was able to literally, like when stuff happened, a memory was triggered, something happened. I mean, I was able to just literally cry through the shame of the experience because I didn't have to be ashamed around the people that God put in my space. And what that did is it freed me from the shame. So what I'm saying is, although people may feel afraid because you're ashamed because you don't want your business out there, don't allow that to make you a prisoner. Because then what happens is that same memory, that same shame is able to trigger toxic emotions within us. Now you're angry. You are angry, someone else do something. They ain't have nothing to do with your past. They ain't have nothing to do with you going through.
All you can see is this cheating man face on them.
But now you are ready to let them have it.
Really?
And it can happen in simple ways. It could mm-hmm. be road rage. I was on the road. This person had the right, but wasn't letting the person out the corner. When the guy finally pulled out in front of them, he stopped. Pulled out, and it was a woman driving. He said, you lucky you's a woman. This is what he said to her. Now, if that was a male, he was prepared to get in an altercation with someone who really ain't do him not a Jesus thing, but because he's angry carrying his own issues.
Wow.
So this is what's happening. We have issues. We're not dealing
unresolved.
With unresolved. I had a young lady who was there for counseling, gave her a sheet to fill out. And to try to assess her to see what the issue was. She literally ticked every box on that sheet. Every box.
She couldn't read
and
or she...
This no. She what she was trying to say is, I have every problem on this sheet of paper. So I'm just struggling with this. And when she ticked it with a large tick to go straight across the paper.
Got that.
Everything.
Got that.
Now, I said, okay. I said, you want to talk to me? You want to tell me what the issue is? And so I just tried to be very calm. You know, to show her like there's no judgment here. This is a safe space. And she said, okay, Ms. Bo, she said, I cannot say it to you. I said, okay, well, how about writing it? And she said, yes, I could write it. And she sat in my office and she wrote what took place. She wrote what happened to her and then she wrote what she did. She couldn't at that moment verbalize her shame, but she wrote it down.
This is break my heart when I hear these stories.
And when she did it, it freed her. She was so free. She was jumping up and down because it released her from the shame of the situation she was going through. And so when she did that, now she's free. And now she could then now take that next step. So a lot of times what's happening to a lot of people in our society is things have happened. It has not been addressed. We've not taken responsibility or accountability to say, I got to own this. This is my story. This is a part of my story. For whatever the reason it happened, why it happened, I got to own that. This is a part of my story. Now, the beauty of God is able to take whatever happens and he could use it for our good. He could bring purpose out of that pain that we went through. And so this is where faith comes in. And this is where, you know, although the church has its flaws, when it operates in the capacity that it's supposed to operate in, it is a healing center. And you can receive strength and encouragement and words to guide you and to fill you and all of that good stuff. And so now when that comes in, now you can be guided as to what are the next steps that you need to do. We got a lot of sexual violence, deal with sexual offenders at the prison. I remember one of the men there who had, I think, 3 separate incidents as it pertains to rape in some form or the other in the country. You know, one of the things he said, he felt safe enough in that space to share what went on with him in his childhood.
That he was raped.
That he experienced rape. And so, and by a female relative. And so, see, we don't want to talk about these things because then we look at the people and everybody's a monster, right? And so we demify them, we vilify them and all of it because this is who they are. But then we don't look at all of the backstory that made people who they are. And I have worked with a lot of young men who are considered the bad boys and all of it. And I could see as they go to the stages, if we don't reach them at a point while their innocence is still there,
that's it,
and address whatever issue is going on and help them with that issue, I can see when that light goes out.
But my issue is this. The government tries to provide counseling. The government tries to provide you opportunities to be able to, a safe space to have these conversations. The government wants you to be able to come and almost kind of rat on what's happening within you. And I say rat in a way because this is the language that's used and confined to those communities that you come from, okay? For the most part, right? So the government wants you to snitch on your family, right? And after you go and spill your guts and say what has happened in your household and who's touching you in your household and disrupting these particular things, and then people come in to ask questions, and then the allegations are made, and then we go through the court system, and then we go through this, and we go through that. These children go right back to the same environment.
So,
ain't no where did the children go? We ain't no place for the children to go.
So this is true, Howard. So I'm not. It's not a glamorous process in terms of the route that you may have to take in some instances with some things. There are, though, places where if those persons who have been put in those places are trustworthy people and they perform as they're supposed to, they're able to be a light in those environments to help those children. So teachers, and I'm sure many teachers who are of that spirit, who can say how they had many students who had to confide in them and share with them. And they were a sounding board for many children, and that there became a safe space. Youth groups, persons who I had a young man in youth group, and I used to drive the bus, whatever was needed, and I was driving the bus to drop them home. And so this young man was like, "I ain't going home. I going home with y'all tonight." And I said, "Well, no, you can't go home with me, right?" And he said, "Well, I want to talk. I need to talk." And so literally, Howard, I drove the church bus till about almost 12 at night, allowing him to talk as I just drive. Now, I wasn't alone, so my son and others were still in the bus. But he sat up front, and he shared what was bothering him. This young man is a Defense Force officer today. But he shared what was bothering him that was making him feel a certain kind of way and that was impacting him, that he just simply, he needed a safe space. And he needed to get it off his chest. And that safe space was created in that moment, which was the church bus dropping children off from school. So I'm saying that it doesn't have to be that you necessarily have to go to an agency where...
But don't the children want resolve? If they don't they... And one of the issues that we were talking about, rooting out violence, right, is that... And they ask every one of us... you know, what do you think is the issue? Everybody had their kind of workspace. And I said, injustice. People feel that there's no recourse. That the pain and the trauma that you visited upon me, that I have no justice. I have no idea of being able to know whether or not you got your due. Because I know you gave me mine. And I know that I'm traveling through this trauma and I got to take what you throw on me for the rest of my life. But my God, who can deal with you? You out here walking up and down on these streets, people angry. And this is where vigilante justice come in. This is where retaliation come in. This is where these particular avenues and persons seeking to be able to deal with those things is simply because of the injustice. Let me get back up and talk a little bit more about these particular things. Guys, I'm here talking with Kendra Bowie. If you want to be able to join us in conversation, I'd love that. Hit me up, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The
Foundation. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way convenience is important? So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant, and you, other than Kendra Bowe, being able to talk to us about these particular things, giving us examples and these sort of ideas that exist in our society, and a lot of persons haven't dealt with that. Haven't been able to stand face to face with the rage that exists inside you. Stand face to face with that suppression of issues that you've dealt with. And everybody can get raped, right? Let's just be very clear. Everybody can get raped. We're not. This is different. Not a conversation about the fact that you have been violated in that particular manner, but maybe verbal abuse has placed you in a position. Maybe physical abuse has placed you in a position. Maybe neglect has placed you in a particular position. Maybe this
rejection
mm-hmm. have placed you in this position. And a great deal of things have happened to a child And especially with education and maturity, you look at these things and say, well, why our parents didn't. And so we justify it through the lens of, well, they didn't know any better. But that doesn't mean that we haven't grappled or continue to grapple with for ourselves. Yeah. Like I said to you, there are issues that I thought I left at 8 Mile Rock. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes, yes.
There are issues that I thought, I don't live in 8 Mile, you know how long I haven't lived in 8 Mile Rock? There are issues, even when I was in Grand Bahama, I left 8 Mile Rock. Because whilst this was a beautiful childhood in some extent, there are some issues that exist for me as an individual that I didn't want to bleed over into my family when I decided to have a family.
Yes.
But the thing never left me.
Yeah.
Right? And I look back whenever issues happen, I say, well, mother sick, I thought I left this in Nassau. I mean, in 8 Mile Rock.
Yeah.
I thought I left this in Andrus. I thought I left this in Georgetown. I thought I left this wherever you're from.
Yes.
And it keep following you. This is why I say wherever you go, you're there.
Yeah. And that's why, Howard, like I said, we have to first acknowledge we have a problem, whatever it is, whatever the issue is, whatever took place. Trying to deny it, trying to suppress it, just leaves it sort of like just churning in us until the right circumstances and events happen and occur to trigger us. And then when we're triggered, it's like a volcano erupts.
Yeah, but you didn't want it to come out.
Right, you didn't. But now
you wanted to say, listen, I'm upset about you. You're making me upset. Yes. And rectify the particular yes. issue, but it doesn't come out like that.
No, because you've been suppressing it for so long.
Be angry and sin not.
Yes.
I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I get angry, it's time to go. No, Jesus called me home now.
Because it means that you have to now, and I think this is for all of us, you have to now find outlets in terms of to express that which you've been experiencing and feeling.
What you mean, like knitting?
you have to find outlets to help you process the emotion that you have.
But a lot of men in our society have been trying to find outlets through alcoholism, through sweethearting.
Yes. And so people
smoking dope.
Yes. People use those things and then it causes other problems and other challenges because that's what they use to medicate and deal with what they have. But now we have to find healthier ways and means to deal with
our trauma. Give me some examples of healthy ways.
So I would use one that I have found to be effective, not just for me, but also for students I've dealt with. And it is movies.
Movies?
And someone be like, movies?
You need to stop.
Talking about?
You better stop. You need to stop.
So let me tell you.
Let me tell you why. I can give you my example before you give me yours.
Go on.
I was watching The Ditch Digger's Wife the other day.
All right.
Okay. Can you carve out some space so I can be absolutely honest with
Go
you
ahead.
Right now. I am I don't want to watch these modern movies. It ain't mm-hmm. doing nothing. And I watch this Ditch Digger's Wife. I found like Black History movies, like classic Black movies on YouTube. Like 214 classic Black movies I watched. I mean, some great movies are there. I say, wow, I can't remember I watched this, right? And so I'm sitting down here on YouTube and I'm watching The Ditch Digger's Wife. She's snuggling up on the couch and I'm deep in this thing now. It's like I'm invested in this movie right now,
yes.
right? And what happened is that the ditch digger, he broke from his mother, ran away from his mother. She was saying, boy, you better go off to school. He said, mommy, what I got to go to school for? He said, I deliberately got everything wrong on the paper and they still give me a C+. He said, they ain't teach me nothing. They don't care nothing about me. They just want me. It was this kind of a concept for social promotion.
Mm-hmm.
His mother didn't understand that. She only understood because of the time that she, this is an old, old movie. And so the time was, is that this is what the white man has set up. Just do as you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the beginning of rebellion for this age.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he ran off to school, He ran away from his mother. He's not going back to school. He was a very smart dude. This dude was smart, street smart, savvy. Mm-hmm. Found this beautiful girl. She was made, fell in love with her, got married. His mother, I believe, found a way to cause him to go to the army. So he was recruited. And if you didn't go, you were going to get locked up,
mm-hmm.
right? He went off. The wife was pregnant when he went off. When he came back, he had a baby. He thought he's going to have a boy. He had a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get pregnant again? He had a girl. She got pregnant again. He had a girl. So all girls.
Yeah.
The second girl was a problem. She named Janet. I don't like Janet right now. I want to punch in the throat every time I think about it. Because as I saw this, Janet was rebellious to the environment that he was trying to create. He pushed education. He pushed an astute posture. He spoke to them in terms of where he sees them in the future. And he wanted all of them to be doctors. Not actually. But this was the aspiration. This was the star. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you fell short of the star, you could at least land on the moon.
Right.
This was the idea. Mm-hmm. Janet rebelled every second. She would go out dancing. She jump out the window. He had to lock the window. He put nails in it, so forth. And said to my wife, just watching the movie, I said, you see that? So you try to draw examples from the movies into your life. And so I said, you see that there? This is some of the issues that I'm having with rebellion that I see in my children. I don't like it. A man should be able to say this is what he wants in his space. Mm-hmm. This is what I say to my wife. Mm-hmm. I said, if he's created these particular things, you're going to have time to rebel and do as you want. But when you hear, and then my wife says, yeah, but suppose, I said, hold on, see, now we rowing. I can't take it. So go ahead with your movie therapy. Let me hear it. Go ahead with that.
So how would the movie therapy is for you to process your emotions.
So watch it by myself. So watch it alone. All right. I can watch it alone.
It's for you to process your emotions. So I had a friend. So as I was going through my marital issues and I was complaining about some stuff, and he said, you know what? He said, I got two movies I want you to watch. I think it was two or three. And these would not have been movies that I would have gone and watched, picked up, gotten. And he said, I want you to watch it. And he said, after you watch it, then tell me. And I watched those movies and I was liberated after I watched them, because what I learned, how it helped me to process some of the emotions.
Now, I must say, myself. Movies do that for me also.
Right?
I enjoy a good movie.
And so some of those same things that you suppress, you was talking about suppression earlier, when you watch something that is able to trigger that emotion and it gives you a positive example of how you can redirect that and how you can move forward, this is when you use movies in the right way, this is what it's able to help you to do.
Did you say use movies in the right way?
Yes, use it in the right way, right? No, and so, no, but this is a good thing. And so it serves as an example to trigger those suppressed emotions. So if it's a storyline that somehow ties into something that you experience that you yourself are afraid to delve into, or you've suppressed so deep that you can't even retrieve it without having something to trigger it. Watching something that is dealing with that same kind of plot, storyline, something like that, but has a positive outcome, it's able to trigger it and it's able to give you direction and it's able to help you process some of those emotions in terms of what you're experiencing and going through. So movies is an excellent way. The other one, which I talk about all the time, is talk therapy. It's finding someone who you can talk and share that shame with.
That's a scary thing for me in this society.
I know it's a scary thing, but it's
I don't have
necessary.
Nobody to do that to, you know. I found some of my good preacher friends, mm-hmm. and I would often pull them aside, and I try to be transparent with them.
And they're like, oh, someone when I would eat.
Yeah. Listen, I see it in their face.
So
Jesus, how I didn't know you was crazy. Yes, sir, I'm very crazy. I just want you to... I live here in this Bahama land, you know. No, you have to be crazy to survive.
Listen, one of the things I learned in terms of a counselor, that even when someone is coming and they're sharing with you, even if you are shocked or surprised, you never show it. You stay neutral and you allow people to talk and to share. And so I remember I had someone call me and they said, you know, the spirit led me to you. And so they just proceeded to share. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. You know, and I find it an honor when I feel people, I'm not available for services. I just want to put it out there, not at this time.
Maybe you should be.
But
you get some good money.
Yeah, but, my plate is full right now. So not right now. I'm going to get there, but not right now. I wanted him to share. I wanted him to get, you know, because his cup was full and he was sharing. And as he started to share, he got very graphic as he was sharing. And I wanted to say TMI, like too much information. But I allowed him to get it all out, everything that he wanted to say, because he could have said what he needed to say to me without sharing the graphic details of some stuff, right? But he felt he needed to do that. And so he did that. And the reality of it is, for some of us, as we're going through, like, we need to get all of that guck out So we need to be able to be expressive. And he said to me, he said, no. He said, I talking about real talk. He said, I want no professional stuff, right? He said, I want really share what's going on. And literally, that's what he needed. And so that was what I provided in that space. And that's what we need. The good thing I love about God is that when we pray for whatever it is that we need, he's able to provide it. And so we may think we can't find it because the persons that God provided for me were not persons that I went out and I picked, weren't persons that I already was in my circle and even to say, oh, I could go to this one. I prayed and God literally provided people in my space and connected me with people that I was able to share. And as I shared with, and I was able to just, you know, say what I needed to say. And I think that, and I've been that for a lot of people and I understand how important it is. So that next step to me is talk therapy.
You gotta be able to find someone that you is trustworthy though.
Yes,
with your information. Whether or not you wanna get graphic. And sometimes what I find myself doing is being incremental with information. Like if I have like a bucket to give you, I'll give you a shot. Right? Like a shot glass full of this I want to talk to.
Right, just to say a little bit.
Just to see how you react to it.
But this is why people pay for therapy, because now it's confidential.
Jesus, you know how much money I need for that?
It's confidential.
You know how much things I need to deal with?
And you are able to find someone. And the good thing about today's market is that even in terms of teletherapy, now a thing.
Yeah, some Indians called me and said, you want to talk? Sir, I can't even understand what you're saying. It's going to get me more frustrated. I can't even. I just want to be decent as I say this.
It doesn't have to be that foreign, Howard. But you can, teletherapy is now a thing where you can now call a therapist and talk to a therapist online. So if you're feeling too sensitive, you're too emotional, you feel ashamed, whatever it is you need to discuss, like you can literally do it on the phone and it doesn't even have to be someone that's local. It can be someone from America.
Can I tell you what I did? Mm-hmm. I spoke to my AI.
Oh, okay.
I spoke to my AI.
Okay.
Right? But then I didn't read back over it.
Okay.
Because it was too traumatizing to be able to, wow. And then I remember something from my childhood. And I said, I don't even want to see this.
And then that's another, I don't that's even another see this. Point this that just also wild. Helps, which is writing it down.
You can write it down too?
You can write
no,
it down.
No, I don't want to see it. I write it down and burn it afterwards.
Well, that's also a good way. You write it down to release it from you, and then you can burn it. Wow. You can do that. And like I told you, as I shared that example earlier, the young lady, she couldn't verbally say to me what her trauma was. She had to write it. And once she wrote that down and handed me the book and I read it and she, I mean, it was almost like night and day in terms of the burden that was lifted off her shoulders.
Wow.
In terms of what she experienced. And so writing it down and journaling it. Another thing, and this again is guided, is prayer and fasting.
This is better. I like this because then I distracted and then I listen to Jesus, which is good. But because if I listen to me, if I listen to Howard when I upset, I don't even know if Jesus.
But let me tell you what happens if you're really and truly fine, really releasing your stuff. When you are releasing that, when you're fasting, you're not all, oh, kumbaya, my Lord. Those raw emotions come to the surface. Because now you're removing the barriers that you would have had in place in terms of to hinder it.
Well, I just wanted to know if I had one more commercial break. I got one more? I got to take one more. All right, let me take this last commercial break. We're going to have a couple minutes before we get back. And we'll be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
On Saturday, February 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m., the Bahamar Convention Center will set the stage for an unforgettable celebration of 25 years of giving back and supporting healthcare education in the Bahamas. Experience a night of excitement with exquisite fine dining. captivating live entertainment, and an inspiring atmosphere as we come together to celebrate and shape a brighter, healthier future. Reserve your spot today by emailing dhfoundation@doctorshosp.com or calling 242-302-4640. Sponsorship opportunities are also available to show your support for this important cause. The Doctors Hospital Meyer Rassen Foundation. 25 years of transforming healthcare and building a legacy. Don't miss this special celebration.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Miller Gray, happy 80th birthday, Miller. This is for Mildred and Danny, your grandson. Mildred, your daughter. Miller Gray celebrated her 80th birthday. My dear, you celebrate 80. My God, that's two generations you've been here, 40 years, two generations. I just pray that the Father continues to be able to bless you and keeps you as you continue to be able to move forward. There's a text that came through. This is Howard. It's a good show. Do you remember the names of the movie? Well, the name of the movie I was Digger's Daughter, The Ditch Digger's Daughters, right? It's on YouTube, so you got to pay no bunch of money for it. It ain't, you go right on YouTube, you could type in black movies, right? And you'll be able to find it right there. You can see James Earl Jones, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to see James Earl Jones in a fedora. And you click on that 214 movie, you can slide right down and find that it's called The Ditch Digger's Daughter. The Ditch Digger's Daughter, right? So snuggle up with your sweet thing in the can and tell her don't talk, all right? Because we're going to be row, right? This is therapy for us right now. Let me watch my movie, eh?
Yes.
So what happened? Miss, we just cut on the movie together. I asked me what happened. Anyway, so that's that, guys. Kenji, I want to thank you, man. I want to thank you for being able to be with us and have this kind of a conversation. Did you have one more before we get out of here? One more therapeutic thing. Now, you said movie therapy, talk therapy. What was the next one?
It's skipping my mind right now. What the other one? Journaling, writing it down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Movie therapy, talk therapy, journaling, writing the thing down, even if you have to burn that thing when you're done. And then you said one more.
Getting information. And then another one, comedy.
Comedy, yes.
Comedy.
Do you know that I'm hilarious? This is because...
But comedy is an excellent way that sometimes when you're not at the place where you can readily deal with the emotions, all that emotions of what you've gone through, a comedy just helps to lighten the load and bring you to a place that then you can move forward in terms of processing some of what you're experiencing or going through in a better way. And so comedy is an excellent way also to get through some of your hard times, your difficult times, and some of your traumas. And then the other one I mentioned, Howard, I had mentioned the prayer and fasting. That was the one we missed.
Oh, yeah, prayer and fasting. Okay, so that's the three for you guys. If you're out there and you're trying to be able to deal with these things, do so with clarity and understanding, man. So you go to your movie therapy, find a good, decent movie. You're not going to go over here and watch a horror movie. Find a good, decent movie
Or porn? Yes, no, don't.
Porn, there's no therapy
There's
no therapy in porn. Let them know. Because these people out here...
No, I'm serious. Because
they're like the old salmon to say, boom, chicken, wow, wow.
No, because this is what happens when you spoke, Howard, earlier in terms of people self-medicating, using drugs, and you're using other vices, and then it creates other problems. So you have to identify that there is a problem, and then now you have to find a path in terms of to help you to heal and get over it. Yes.
Who is it? Oh, it's the pizza guy. Stick the old school ones. They need to stop. Guys, movie therapy, decent movies for Jesus' sake. Decent movies. Uplifting, yeah. Spiritual movies. Yeah. You know what I like? I like Hallmark movies and then LMN. Yeah. Those are excellent movies, right?
And can I say something to Howard? Is that, for example, when I was given two movies, These were actually rated R movies, not like highly sexual, but they were rated R. But the point was the storyline of what it taught that I needed to get the message of.
So if you're saying storyline, you right. definitely ain't talking about Tyler Perry.
Right.
Because you definitely ain't talking about Tyler Perry. Let's just be decent. Movie therapy, talk therapy, find someone you can trust to be able to have these kind of conversations with.
Uh-huh.
Find a journal, just mm-hmm. be able to write this information down. Use comedy to be able to make some levity.
Yeah.
From your environment, your life, so yeah. forth and so on. And you could be able to find, with true fasting and prayer, it's going to come to the forefront, but it gives you an opportunity to be able to deal with it.
And you trust God to then give you the wisdom. And so if I ended on that note, that final note of ending it is, in terms of it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Pray. God can give you clarity. He's able to give you wisdom. He's able to bring the people into your life, if only for that season or moment. In order to help you process, overcome, guide you through a situation or challenge.
Kendra, I enjoy this.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this. Ladies and gentlemen, Kendra, but I would give you her number, but she says she ain't ready yet. She said, Howard, not yet. But when she's ready, I'm definitely be able to give you that. Guys, enjoy your weekend. Have a beautiful time. Do so with sobriety. Do so safely. And if you are one of these persons that are dealing with some issues, find an avenue of therapy for yourself. And being able to do that. We're going to dive a little bit deeper on Monday to get to some spiritual elder C. Smith and being able to find out where we are and moving forward. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank Barrington Brennan for being able to sit with us today and call in. And I want to thank Kendra Bowe for being able to contribute in this conversation. I'm going to see you on Monday. God spare our lives right here on The Foundation. Have a great weekend, guys. Foundation.